Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. The video game business is now worth $25 billion a year. For millions of consumers, gaming is a part of everyday life. For an elite few, playing video games is an ultra-competitive and potentially lucrative career path.
On average, I'd say I play about 6 hours a day, like actual train, 6 hours a day. I think competitive gaming can be considered a sport because you look at like Korea, for instance. StarCraft II over there is kind of like what the NFL is for USA.
Dan Sherlong there, talking about his career as a professional gamer at a recent MLG or Major League Gaming event in North Carolina. The BBC's Matt Danzico attended the competition where international gaming champions square off for big money in front of big crowds and millions watching online. The event prompted Matt to ask whether pro gamers are our 21st century athletes. It's a question that piqued our curiosity, so we invited him to tell us what he found. Matt Danzico, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're talking to you after the Olympics, when many of us watched just awestruck, you know, as these feats of athleticism played out in front of us. Before we get to whether pro gamers are athletes, what do you think defines a modern sport?
You know, I think what defines a modern sport is a sanctioned physical activity that is often competitive, and one can either participate in these activities in teams or as an individual. And I think that's really sort of what defines a sport for me.
So when you went to the MLG conference, this was the Major League Gaming event in Raleigh, North Carolina, you spoke to a number of pro gamers. In the lead, we heard from Dan, nicknamed Vibe, talking about his intense training regime. Do gamers have the status of athletes among gamers?
You know, they definitely do have the status among gamers, and I think they should have the status among all of us. I mean, I think what's interesting here is, you know, this idea of a sport being something physical. Now, you know, as we sort of transition into a digital sphere on the web, you know, obviously all of us are spending much more time on our mobiles and our desktops. You know, as the idea of a physical environment changes, you know, websites are now, you know, they could be viewed as our rooms. Facebook is, you know, an arena full of all of your friends. You know, the idea of what is an athlete has to change. You know, why can't an athlete be an avatar running around a digital space if, you know, these spaces are where we spend our time now?
And Vibe also mentioned in South Korea that it's like the NFL there. What's going on in South Korea?
Well, South Korea, I mean, video gaming, pro video gaming, or esports, as they're called, is absolutely huge. I mean, these pro video game players are stopped in the middle of the streets and mauled by fans. I mean, there are something along the lines of 6 different television networks that air video games being played by pro gamers on the television screen, sort of like walkthroughs live at all times of the day and night. So they are absolutely massive and very much can be compared to the NFL.
And I guess they're very wealthy, too. What's the prize money like at contests like the one in Raleigh, for example?
The prize money at the game in Raleigh was, I think it was $200,000for first place. And you have to realize that this is not the largest. The MLG event that I went to in Raleigh is not the largest event in the country. I mean, this is small potatoes compared to what's going on in the rest of the country and world. I mean, it's not ridiculous to hear about prize money being at the level of $1 million.
Wowie.
And so these pro video gamers, they're actually pulling in hordes of money on a daily basis. I mean, whether it's through these competitions, whether it's through their sponsors. I mean, they have sponsors on their T-shirts or on their jerseys, rather, just like any other pro athlete would. You know, you think of NASCAR, the sponsors sort of draped over all of the cars going around the track. This is what you see on the jerseys of pro gamers. And so they make money that way. And then they make money live streaming their games when they're just practicing. So they live stream their actual avatars running around, you know, these digital landscapes on different channels on the internet. And then they have commentary about how, you know, their strategy and what their thinking is as they move about those spaces.
That's what you call a walkthrough, right?
Yes, okay. That is what you call walking.
This is an education for me as well, Matt. We're talking about the growing world of professional gamers. Our guest is BBC tech reporter Matt Danzico, who produced a video story about a Major League gaming event in Raleigh, North Carolina. And as we're hearing from him, that is not the only one that's going on. Well, like pro sports, pro gaming has commentators and analysts at their events. And viewers can watch key replays on Major League Gaming's website. Here's just a sample.
Marine King already has that third command center done, macroing up that large force, and is going straight up for a drop.
So right now we do see that factory is nearly completed. There is going to be a drop inside the main base. A huge mailing hit, able to kill up some of those Marines. But look at this, a multi-pronged drop by Marine King. Gonna try and make it work here.
Oh, and he manages to get the Baneling, and it looks like the Zerglings do not quite do enough damage in time, and Mutilus are in production.
Who are these commentators, Matt?
So these commentators are, they're former pro gamers for the most part. So, you know, the industry is really new. I mean, it hasn't been around that long at all. And so these individuals who are called casters among gamers, that's sort of the lingo, casters. So these casters were gamers about 5 to 10 years ago, pro gamers. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, as they started to get a bit older, you know, into maybe their late 30s, they started to, I think, question, you know, where is this all headed? And so they decided to attempt to make a living off of being a type of sports commentator, but for professional video games. And so they sit behind a large curtain a lot of times at these events, which they tour and they go to around the country. And they sit behind these curtains and they have these live feeds of the games being played in the main arena. And then they comment on what's going on and they're filmed themselves and they're sort of sitting at a desk like you'd see on ESPN or something like that. And they're sitting at a desk and they're commenting. And then they have a live stream just for themselves commenting and talking about strategy of the games being played in the other room.
I'm trying to think of the trajectory of, you know, the athlete in the making, right? The little Gabby Douglas going to practice on the balance beam, or a high jumper, you know, clearing 4 feet, then 5 feet, then 6 feet. And imagining the parents of kids who are obsessed with video games saying, "Mom, I really have to practice, you know, blowing up Zerglings or whatever instead of doing my homework."
You know, this is the future, exactly what you mentioned. I received an email one day after my story ran on television, and it was from a mother in Canada, and she said, you know, "I have to thank you so much. I had no idea that my son actually has a talent that is profitable, that he can make money from in the future." She's like, "This entire time, I thought he was just wasting his life and throwing his life away while he sat on the couch and played these video games, specifically StarCraft II, which is one of the games that is brought to a lot of these large competitions." And she said, "Now I'm going to make him train. This is his future."
I'm wondering, Matt, if the growth of pro gaming and the sort of esports growth, does that mean anything for people who will never play video games?
You know, does it mean anything for those people? You know, I think what it means for them, you know, it's the same as, let's say, golf. I don't watch golf myself, but of course I see it everywhere. You know, it's a large industry. It could bring in a lot of money into the country. It certainly has in South Korea. And I think what it means for people who maybe aren't as interested is, you know, there is the potential to make large sums of money, whether you like it or not. This is a sort of video gaming and sport revolution that is coming.
I wonder if their chances are as slim as kids who want to get into professional athletics. Do you think there's a lot more money to go around here?
I'm not sure if there's a lot more money to go around just yet. But like I said before, it's coming and the money will be there. There is a stadium that it has been proposed in the city of Los Angeles by, I believe, a company called Riot. And Riot is planning on making the first professional video game stadium in Los Angeles's borders. And, you know, I think that's just an indicator of how huge it's going to be and how many possibilities are out there to, one, get involved with the industry, and two, to maybe profit from it.
And it'll be streamed to a screen near you. Matt, I want to thank you.
Thank you so much.
The BBC's Matt Danzico. You can see his video report from the Major League Gaming Summer Championships in Raleigh, North Carolina, at wordofmathradio.org. And while you're there, let us know what you think. Would you like to see gaming on ESPN? Are video games off your athletic radar? Let us know by posting on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio. Now coming up, the bike culture boom leads one California shop to focus on the basics, just transportation and access to bicycles for low-income residents. We'll take that ride when Word of Mouth continues.